Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 119, verses 65 to 68. Psalm 119. You have dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes.
I want to join with Walker in thanking you for your presence this morning. We particularly appreciate the parents that are here this morning and maybe bringing their children to school, and we're thankful for your presence. I want to emphasize that we want to be a place here at the University Church where we can help your children grow in their service to God. It is important that we have a good relationship with each member, but particularly with our students. We'd like to also know the parents and have their contact information and for you to know us. We pray that our work together in building up one another, building up, helping the family of God, our own family, go to heaven. We pray that we can certainly see good things in that regard. This morning, I want to continue a study that I started a little bit ago on the fruit of the Spirit. I know I've taken a little hiatus from the presentation of that material, but I'd like to pick it up this morning. And one of the things that when we look at the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, this morning we're going to be studying kindness and goodness, is the ultimate idea here is that God should be making a mark on us. Who is a Christian? You know, we talked last week about the idea of forgiveness and how, you know, Jesus talked about the mark of discipleship is that we have love for one another. Ultimately, the way we think of others and the way we think of God is going to be God's mark on us. As we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, just as a review, we're talking about fruit singular. There are various things listed within the context of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll read it in a moment, but the idea is that we're to have all of these. It's not just like you have one or two. Again, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We've already studied the idea of how a Christian is to be a joyful person, with the idea of knowing who they are and where they're going. The idea that the Christian is to be filled with the love of God, the agape love of God. We give people what they need, not what they deserve. We understand where we have come from. The Christian is to seek peace. Christian doesn't rejoice in just somehow the separation from others. They're wanting people to be right with God, and they want people to be right with one another. The child of God is long-suffering. And there's times when things are not justly done toward them, but they'll be able to abide in that, continue hoping that a person may see the grace of God and the love of God. This morning we want to continue in that study with the idea of kindness and goodness. It's interesting as we talk about changes. What's the mark of maturity? What are some of the marks that you're growing in Christ? One of the things that you'll see consistently is our ability to get out of ourselves, our ability to see others, our ability to serve, our ability to quit looking at me and mine and thinking I'm the center of the universe and emphasizing all the things that have happened to me, and be able to start looking toward others and even their shortcomings and the kind of attitude that God would have. Quite interesting as we talk about the change that God brings is very distinct from the world. The world, you know, the change of the world is going to be getting more things and having more popularity and accomplishing goals and moving up the ladder. That's not how the Spirit of God works with us. You know, it's interesting as you go through events, certain events can change you. I'm anxious to hear the report from our men that went to the Philippines. We hope to have that very soon. And it was interesting in talking to some of them that was a very life-changing experience. You go through, even though for a few weeks there are things that you can go through that changes you, changes your view of things, changes your view, in this case, I'm sure, of the wealth that we have and the ease we have versus other places. But could you imagine being a Christian that we should be thinking in different ways? The longer we stay within looking at our Jesus and looking at the teaching of God's Spirit, I think that's the idea of being sealed with the Spirit. It's the idea that God's left His mark on us through that teaching, through that example, through the practice, through being with other Christians. 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "Now He who establishes us with you is Christ and has anointed us as God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee." What mark is being made on you? Eventually, you know, as one person said of coinage, he says, you know to whom a coin belongs by the imprint on it. Eventually in time, we as Christians need to be known by the fruit of the Spirit. Be honest this morning. You know, is this the change I'm going through? Or maybe I need to rethink whether or not I'm opening my heart to the Lord. Let's very briefly, this won't be a long lesson this morning. Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit in kindness. The idea of kindness, you may say, well, come on, let's study something else. Kindness, that's not that important. Oh, it's very important. Kindness, really, when we talk about our relationship with God, this is a precious truth about the nature of God and hopefully will be brought into our own lives. The idea of kindness is a gracious attitude, goodness. It also could mean moral integrity and uprightness, honesty, doing what is right. I believe the idea here of kindness, as one writer says, the sympathetic kindness or sweetness of temper, which it looks like I've got a wrong quote here, but anyway, which puts others at ease. That should be puts, not outs. Puts others at ease and shrinks from giving pain. Have you been around a kind person and, you know, you've got maybe some bad news to bring to them, or maybe you've messed up? There's something about a kind person. You say, I know they're going to be honest with me. I know they're going to tell me what I need, but deep down inside, they don't want me to hurt. Deep down inside, they want me to enjoy good things. Could we bring the mic down a little bit? I think we're getting some extra. Yeah, okay. Very good. Okay. I don't know, getting a little extra noise there. Okay. Thank you. As we look at kindness, it's very interesting. In order to come to God, to be able to know the nature of our God ahead of time helps me to go to Him. I don't know about you, but I don't look forward to going to a person having messed up when I think they may take my head off. You know, it's kind of like sometimes you look at different coaches and styles of coaches, and there are some coaches. I remember my brother, he had a coach in high school that was one of the most foul-mouthed, just insolent person that I've ever heard of. There were times where players literally fell down. And we're talking about the 60s now. This wouldn't happen today, I think, you know, the way we... But in the 60s, I remember he was telling me about players that were just exhausted and fell down in practice, and the coach would go up and kick them, start kicking them, having them get up. And, you know, this was the kind of guy that you wouldn't want to go talk to. You know, our God, while He is righteous and holy, He's also kind. And it is that kindness that makes us want to go to Him, even when we've messed up. Have you ever known others that you are convinced has no use for you? Have you ever dealt with somebody like that? I have. You live long enough, you're going to deal with those situations. And that's no fun. You don't like being around somebody like that. You know, maybe you've misjudged them. And we can't misjudge others. But there's nothing fun about being in the presence of somebody that would probably, you would think they would rejoice at me making any mistake or falling down or giving them some kind of weapon to use on me. Look at the word kindness in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, kindness is used more of God than anyone else. Let's look at some of the passages that we look at. The idea of kindness, sometimes translated goodness, it's not just the idea that God is perfect and just. There's a sense that could cause us to pull back because we look at ourselves, God is perfect. I'm not. I know that. That may not necessarily comfort me. But the idea here in this word is the idea that our God is kind. He wants to help. He sees our faults. He is perfect, but He wants to say, come on, you can be better. I can help you. This is not the end of the world. There's a path, if you'll turn to me, that I'll help you. And therefore, you read passages like Psalms 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. My God's not going to throw me away when I make a mistake. My God, because of His nature, the essence of my God, the character of my God, is that He wants you and I to take the next step. He wants you and I to come to Him. He wants you and I to know that whatever mess we've made, that if we will yield to Him, He'll make it better. Now, there's going to be some hard things we've got to deal with. But He, in essence, wants good for us. Hear me, O Lord, for Your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of Your tender mercies. And do not hide Your face from Your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speak. You know, one of the beautiful things, and I will tell you, if you don't hear it, understand anything else from this lesson, this is the point I want to bring home this morning. When you are in trouble, you can turn to your God. I don't care if you've departed from Him, if you've been evil toward Him, if you've turned your back toward Him and gone down the path you ought not. Our God, by His very nature, says, look, when you are ready, if you come to me, I will be kind to you. I will look out for your good and I will bring good to you. Now, you've got to trust me. But there's something about that. I need to know when I'm in trouble who to turn to. Have you ever turned to the wrong person when you were in trouble? Have you turned to somebody in trouble and you didn't know it until later they laughed at you behind your back? Have you turned to somebody in your trouble and you find out they gossiped about you and they sit back and they just kind of just sat on their hands and watched you suffer? My God is not that way. Are you a kind person? Am I a kind person? Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. Notice here this verse, if I am in the presence of my God, there's thanksgiving. My God always, always, always works for my good. You know, a lot of people, yeah, this is be honest, we're in a world where people can just leave you for nothing. They can leave you like a piece of trash, or they can just ignore you to death. How many people do you know that you could come to, and you know because of the kindness that is in them, they want to do you good? I worry sometimes within the church that maybe we're not known for that. Well, we need to look at our God and imitate Him in this matter. In Psalms 109 and verse 21, it says, but You, O God, the Lord, deal with me for Your name's sake, because Your mercy is good. Deliver me. Those kind of verses help me. You know, we'll all go through trouble in our life. And who do we go to? Who do we go to when that time comes? You know, let me talk now a little bit about coming to God. One of the things that is very important, now when you come to God, He's not going to do like a person who really doesn't care anything for you and just somehow, you know, a person that doesn't care anything for you, they'll try to comfort you without helping you be better. That's not really love. Our God is going to love us. Now get this, this is an important point. Our God is going to comfort us and instruct us. And in that instruction, there will come teaching that will rebuke, that may be painful, that may be something that causes us to have a struggle within us, but always, 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 our God is going to take us when we are broken and move us closer toward Him. And we're going to hear unwanted truths. I say unwanted, they're unwanted because we may be struggling with worldliness in that idea. But listen to Psalms 119. Beautiful. We've read in our hearing already. You have dealt well with Your servant, O Lord, according to Your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Kind people teach. I'm not doing anybody good who goes out and gets drunk and goes out and has consequences from that, whether they're in their health or their relationships. And then just take them in and say, oh, you'll do better, and not lift one finger to teach them about the paths they're going down and how changes have to be made. Kind people don't withhold that teaching. And that would be true with religious error. That would be true with other kinds of error. You see, the idea of kindness is the kindness of God will bring me to Him and will bring me to His law. And judgment and discernment are a beautiful thing in kindness, that you want those kind of people around you. They're kind to you. They'll be patient with you, but they're going to teach. There's right and there's wrong. You know, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, it's quite interesting looking at this verse. Now, you imagine this. Here was a man, the rich young ruler, praising Jesus, had studied a lot, knew a lot, at least according to his own self-testimony. He did come to Jesus, and he said, now, what do I lack? Now, you are a guy, by the way, I'll give you another illustration here. This may not be the perfect illustration, but sometimes, have you ever had somebody get a new hairstyle or put a new dress or new clothes or something, and it's not very good? What do you think? You know, and you're a kind person, you know. And now, in this case, we're not talking about sin, and so, you know, there may be some value in not just directly describing your view of their taste in that case. But let's talk about somebody. This was a matter of their eternal life. Hey, what do I lack? What does kindness do? In Mark 10:21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. What if that was told to you and I today? Sell everything you have. What was his reaction? Was this a kind statement of Jesus? Absolutely a kind statement. Look at verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So as we talk about kindness here, we talk about, you know, you want good for the other person, but you don't withhold what they have to hear, and there are times that what they need to hear is going to be hurtful. So don't fear about the law. Sometimes, I really do recognize there are times people at a certain point spiritually, and they need to hear this before hearing this, and so I understand. As we look at Bible studies and sometimes our assemblies of how, you know, a person may come in, and they may not be ready to hear this, but I will say in our assemblies and in our teaching, we don't need to fear the lost or our own brethren hearing plain teaching. And so I understand there's judgment. And we need to pray about how we teach and the wisdom of our teaching. But listen to me, when you're kind to somebody, you might be surprised, by the way, when you find somebody hearing something. I sometimes find my brethren reacting more strongly to fear of how somebody else may respond than the one they're fearful for. God's kindness, let's keep going. God's kindness is universal. To the person out here that is persecuting Christians, God is kind to him. To the one who loves God and serving him, God is kind to him. The idea of this attribute of God, it's a universal attribute. And notice how we're to imitate it. In Luke 6:35, it says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, for you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Ooh, you mean I got to do that? Somebody makes fun of me? Somebody who makes fun of my religion? Somebody who really is unthankful to God and arrogant, doesn't it make more sense to somehow be able to take that fork and stick it in them and watch them cry a little bit? Isn't that the way we should? No, that's not the way we should do it. I mean, it's tempting, isn't it? And we've got to watch our attitude. Sometimes we may see people who are wicked and they receive the just end of their wickedness and we rejoice in it. I want to tell you, Christian, for you and I, we need to watch our attitude here. Are we kind? You see, this kindness, it will be with our enemies as well as with our brethren. But see, it's very interesting that why God is kind is because it's His nature. He can't be any other way. And I would hope that the wicked in time, I mean, you know, we live in a different society today. We may not always live in this kind of society, where the difference between the growing of our crops and the eating of our food is kind of separated, and we don't somehow see our vulnerability. But back in these days where they had the agricultural society, you know, a bad weather phase could be disastrous. But both for the wicked and the good, God is kind to them in the yielding of their crops. Psalms 85 and verse 12, yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Psalms 104:27, these all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. God's good to all men. Look at where we're at today, brethren. Again, look at what we have. Look at our health. Look at the prosperity that we have. Look at the ability we have to assemble without persecution. Our God is good. We need to let the atheists think about that as well. But God also will bring judgments to humble us, and that is good as well. Our God, when you understand the purpose of His kindness, the purpose of His kindness is to eventually to bring us to Him if our minds work correctly. Notice this verse, challenging verse. Here it's written to Christians. That's what kind is humbling here. We can lose our sense of God's kindness. We can develop a very hardened heart. In Romans 2:4, the Bible says, do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know, there's some people say that God is kind, and because He's kind to me, I'm great. And I don't need to change. Oh, no, that's not the right reasoning. There's some people that see the kindness of God, and they think, you know what? Nothing's bad going to ever happen to me. Things going pretty good, and there's a God, and here everything's going good. You know, God, I don't know all the reasoning, but some people think God's weak. You know, there's some people, you know it. You guys know this. Sometimes you'll deal with some people, and you're kind to them, and they'll think that's an opportunity for them, so to speak, pick your pocket figuratively, and just go straight ahead and run over you. Now, folks, kindness is not weakness. We could appeal, I don't have this in the outline, to Romans 11:22, because of the goodness and the severity of God. The kindness is to help you repent. But if you don't get that point, there is wrath that is building up. Our God is kind, but open your heart, soften your heart. I'll have to admit to you, it's very interesting in my life. I look back at times of crisis, and I haven't had many. That may well change in time. But there are people that I opened my heart to that came and were there for me during my time of difficulty. It's quite interesting how the kindness of another individual can make that individual somehow totally change their opinion of you and open their heart to you. That's what God should do, and that's the kind of people we ought to be. Let me give a little bit of test along these lines. And just, we've talked about this, but before we finish this section, few questions. Do you relish the thought of punishing those who have hurt you? I'm almost going back to the series on forgiveness here. You know, kind people, what is kindness? Kindness at our heart, we want the best for people. We don't want to just to see them uncomfortable and hurting and rejoicing in it. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Notice another question. Have you cast off others as trash and wish for bad things to happen to them? You see, that's another thing. We as Christians, you're going to see in our relationships the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I realize Christians are rejected and people run from us and people say bad things about us. There are things that can happen. But I want to tell you, when you're the kind of person and you're looking out for another, even when you believe they're in the wrong, you're seeking their good. And you're not trying to throw them away. You see, that's what the world does. Let me give some more questions, frame it in a different way. Are you willing and glad to be used as a tool for bringing anyone back to God? I think this last week, I guess, with the Chick-fil-A issues, it's interesting to see the reactions to that. And it brings back some memories for me. I've had the occasion, with God's mercy and help, to be a tool many years ago in converting a couple of men that had gone into the practice of homosexuality. Now, maybe attitudes are different now within the church. But I was pretty surprised that when there were these young men that had repented and they had been baptized into Christ and they were wanting to get close to Christians and they were wanting to go forward eliminating and leaving that lifestyle. I was shocked at some of the attitudes of brethren when these men had made that change. Now, I hope we'll always be a people. I don't care what the background of the person they is, what they've done and what they've done to us. If they turn to God, that we're going to join in with the kindness of God and help them. As a matter of fact, see ourselves as being in their very shoes. I don't know why my sin that I've turned from is going to be any greater than their sin that they've turned from. One more question. Do you often think about how you can better express yourselves to others? I recognize I've been preaching for 30-something years, but I want to tell you, I constantly am frustrated. As I look back and hear some of the things that I've said, I don't like to listen to my preaching, I'll tell you. That's frustrating to go listen to. I remember years ago, I got not only to hear one of my lessons, but I it put on video. And I stood awake all night thinking, well, should I keep preaching? You know, and so, you know, the words that we speak, you know what I want to say, but sometimes it doesn't always come out like I would want. You see what kind people do? They'll do what Paul was telling us through the Holy Spirit. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer each one. I don't enjoy inflicting pain. I don't enjoy, and I'm sure you don't as a Christian, you know, saying something in a way, not only you want to teach it, but you kind of want to get that knife and turn it a little bit and make it hurt. That's not the goal of a Christian. And sometimes we don't mean to do that. And let me tell you, sometimes people are going to be offended, and we can be as careful as we can be. And there's another side of that. But kind people are concerned with how they communicate and they think about it often. The next fruit of the Spirit we're going to deal with very briefly. Some have indicated the idea of goodness here is really kindness in practice. Some have suggested that kindness would be the attribute within God's heart and hopefully within our hearts, and the goodness will be the practice of it. Whatever that's the case, as you look at the definition of goodness, it's of a moral excellence, being good, goodness, uprightness. As a quality of a relationship with others, willingness to give or to share, generosity, goodness. And so the idea here of goodness then has been, then I'm going to be one looking at right. You see, it's interesting how some people, they want to take the fruit of the Spirit and they want to separate them and they'll have the, try to pit the attributes of God against himself. Kindness is not in opposition to goodness. Goodness involves right and wrong. Goodness involves doing. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You see, one of the things today that a lot of people say, kind people don't contend for the faith. Kind people don't discern. And I know this audience, I know we know that, but this still is interesting how even I go back to this last week on the controversy relating to the homosexuality. I'm becoming very concerned that I have some of my brethren that would say that if you say homosexuality is a sin, that's offensive, and you not ought to say that. You may say, "Larry, that's a misrepresentation." It may be, but I'm not sure it is. Because I say something may be wrong, and somebody may be offended by that. That doesn't make me unkind. It's quite interesting as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Notice how the things that are combined here with goodness. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Christian, there is truth. There is right. There is wrong. Kindness. We want to reach out to people, be open-hearted. We want good to happen to them. But we always, 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 always will go to truth. It's in the truth that God teaches us, instructs us, helps us. One writer is talking about this word. He implies there's the idea of zeal. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? Do you remember when you first came out of whatever background you had? Maybe it was some human religious system. Maybe it was some system of worldliness. Maybe all of those things. Here the idea of goodness. One writer suggests it's zeal for goodness and truth in rebuking, correcting, and chastening. Romans 15:14. I look back when I became a Christian, I wanted to teach everybody. And in order to teach everybody, I recognize that the very process of the gospel, a person has to see their sin, recognize their sin, and turn from that sin. In Romans 15:14, Paul says, "Now I myself am confident among you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness." What does that mean? Notice, filled with all knowledge and are able to admonish one another. And so here I am. I'm wanting good for others. I want them to see what I've seen. I want them to turn from every evil way. I want them to experience the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that comes through Him. And so there's this teaching process, and it's a rebuking process as well. Again, I don't want to do that harshly. I don't want to do that arrogantly. And brethren, we can so easily fall into an unkind presentation of the truth. I have been guilty of that. You can be guilty of that. We constantly want to weigh that. We're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about unwisdom, the lack of wisdom. Here's the idea of a zeal for what is right. Because ultimately, I want others to know God and see Him. I want to strengthen other Christians on the basis of truth. And so we go back this week. I look back this week, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that before I conclude the lesson. What about this week with what is really, in essence, almost a political thing, but also it's a moral thing, a thing dealing with the struggles within our culture? We're seeing right now in this country the question of homosexuality being used as a weapon, and it's going to be used as a weapon, it's being used as a weapon, and it'll continue to be used as a weapon to try to separate Christians and to silence Christians. There was a CEO of a company that basically said that marriage ought to be between a man and a woman. And I will tell you, I don't think I'm all that old, but you know, somebody said that back when I was growing up, and everybody would have said, "Well, of course." You know, there would have been no controversy at all. And now we're at a point where somebody says that, and suddenly everybody says, "That's hate speech." Can I tell you why? I would publicly talk about homosexuality as being a sin? It's because in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 11, it is named as a sin, but as a sin that a person would repent of, as of other sins, in order to become a Christian. I want people to become Christians. And the Bible tells me I can't practice sin and become a Christian. So there's a mercy in me that I would say, well, yes, this is wrong. Christian, don't be afraid to say that it is wrong. That's not arrogance. But on the other hand, I do want to love those that are caught up in a practice of lifestyle that's not good. And I don't have time this morning. I'm not going to hijack my sermon to talk about the homosexuality. But I will say this. Those people that are caught in that lifestyle, having worked with some people that have been in it, and not that I know everything, but my heart goes out to them. When I meet somebody in that lifestyle, I want to tell you, within my heart, it aches. And I wish something could be done, something could be said, something could help these people to leave that lifestyle. The Bible describes it in Romans 1:28, that basically that they have a recompense to themselves. It's a hell on earth. And so, as a Christian from the pulpit, I'm not just dealing with a cultural issue. I'm dealing with a salvation issue. I'm dealing with a heart issue of somebody that I care about. And I want to help them change. And again, you take that as an application of kindness and goodness. Ed Bragwell posted something this week in a kind of a public forum, and I'll just end the lesson with this. I think it's a good quote. In our quest for knowledge, beware becoming smarter than God. In our quest for tolerance, beware becoming more lenient than God. In our quest for civility, beware of becoming nicer than God. My God has been merciful to me. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're in essence talking about becoming like God. You know what happens when you're kind and you stand for what is right? Everybody's going to love you, right? Nope. People are going to beat on your head and say, that's hate speech. Wait just a minute, I didn't feel it. Oh, you, and they're going to try to silence you. And eventually they may try to take your job away. Well, you see what they did to Jesus. There are going to be many that will despise you, but there are going to be some people that will open their hearts to you. And let me tell you something, it's very interesting. I've seen worldly people talk about various groups they've attended and various people they've known. When they get to the point they want to open their heart, they're not going to go to the person that patted them on the head and said, you're okay and I'm okay. No. When they get to the point they want real change, they're going to go to that person that was kind to them but also told them the truth. So, Christian, let's be firm in our desire to follow Jesus and our willingness to be kind to others. And really speak what they need to hear. Where are you at this morning? Have we gotten the point across that our God will receive you wherever you're at? That we serve a God that will take your life from where it is right now and help you to rebuild it. The invitation is a time. We urge you to think about it. Never put on Christ. Never obeyed the gospel. Responded in faith to be baptized. We'd love to extend that invitation to you this morning. And Christian, what kind of coin are we? Is the mark in our life the harsh dog-eat-dog world? I'll take care of my stuff and I'll leave you. Or is the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit being reflected in my attitude and your attitude as we work for others? Let's think about those things. If you need to respond in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?